As we continue in our camp days, today's sermon, Share Love Amongst Words, will be coming from our scripture in James chapter 5, verses 7 through 18. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed those who showed endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Above all, my beloved, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that was going a verse too far. Sometimes you just get into the reading. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. It has been a week that has needed prayer. A lot of little fumbles and bumbles. And how James reminds us, go to the Lord in prayer. Prayer is such a powerful connection and relationship to God. Amen. The pictures I shared with you, I went to the schools on Thursday and Friday. And I have shared with you in my direction illiteracy, God showed up. For those who are familiar with the Duncan area, I had about 4 communities of schools from the list I had received. And so I went to Duncan Elementary, and I went to James Byrne High School, and I went to James Byrne's Freshman Academy. And then I drove out to Inman. And then I put in another school, Beach Springs. And it was much farther than I expected it to be. And then I saw I had literally passed the parking lot when I had been in the Duncan area. And I said, God, I thought I had this written with my Inman schools. But because of that, God gave me a list when I returned to pray at Beach Springs. As I passed the high school, James Byrne, their marching band was out on the field. And my understanding is they've been practicing all week long. And it was like I got to see the preview concert. And then as I got to Beach Springs, and the sun was setting, it's just beautiful over the school. And that sometimes in our timing, we go, God, you didn't answer my prayer, because we ran out of patience, or we had a very specific idea we thought. And then God says, please be open to what I will give. and when I will give it. And some of us have been blessed with an unanswered prayer, or at least not the way we expected, that we might have prayed a year ago, 10 years ago, and that we get to see the fruit of it today and say, God, wow, thank you for not answering that prayer the way I thought, but for you knowing best. God loves when we come to the Lord in prayer. There is no problem too small or too insignificant to share with God. There is nothing so mountainous that God can't handle it. And yet we edit ourselves. Oh God, that's just trifle. Or God, this is too big to let go. I love that James goes in and specifically tells us, are you sick? Go to God. Are you cheerful? Go to God. Are you suffering? Go to God. God is waiting to receive this from us. But some of us forget to go to God. Maybe it's too convenient that God is ready 24/7, doesn't care where we are, and ready to meet us. So we overlook, maybe take it for granted, or edit ourselves. And so who do we sometimes go to? Our friends. Are they amazing people? Absolutely. Family? Wonderful. Are there times we should be in communication and conversation with them? Absolutely. Are sometimes we depending on them instead of God? Yeah. And what do us humans tend to do? Misery loves company. Oh, have you ever been in a great mood? Like, I'm talking like just everything was aces. You woke up on the right side of the bed. You are joyful. You feel like sunshine is coming out of you. You are just on fire. Maybe the coffee was just perfect that morning. Maybe you had just enough milk for your cereal. Everything was just lining up. And then you make that phone call. Gloomy Gus, negative Nelly. And they just brought you down. Like you could feel like the rain cloud appeared over your head. And all of a sudden, ugh, I'm out of milk. Ugh, my coffee was just a little too hot. Ugh, I had to get up. I got up a minute before my alarm. I could have gotten that extra 60 seconds of sleep. But these were the same things that just brought you joy. But because someone else was having a bad day, they started to bring you down. Because once you start in that critical mode, oh, well, all of a sudden, you can write a review for everyone, and it's not pleasant. All of a sudden, you can find how everything just isn't working. That's the grumbling James was talking about. Be careful. Do you have the right to be upset or frustrated? Of course, you're human. But that doesn't mean everything has to frustrate you. Not everything needs your critique. You aren't the judge of all. And so when we start seeing all the faults in our brothers and sisters, we tend to find our faults too. And sometimes that carries over into God. I'm sorry. We think we know better. We think God could have made that sunset a little prettier. God definitely can turn down that thermostat outside. We just all of a sudden know all the answers. And God, in good humor, sometimes just listens. And at any moment, God could rain down on us. Listen here. I could make it a lot hotter out there if that's a problem. Let us not get caught in that grumbling. Should we listen to our brothers and sisters when they're having a bad day? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean we have to jump in the mire with them and help them find what else is wrong in their day. It's okay to be the encouraging one. It's okay to inspire others to see the joy in life. And also, let me please point out there's a difference between joy and happiness. I don't need you to go out there and just be happy, happy, happy when the world is falling apart. My car broke down. Isn't that awesome? Oh my goodness, I've had this cold for 3 weeks. I can't breathe at all. No, that's not real. If you're having a bad day, it's okay to feel that. But joy is to realize a car can be repaired. Joy is having that hope when you can breathe that first big breath of air after a cold and be thankful. Joy is knowing there's more to the story. Earth is full of problems. The world, it is their point to pull you down, to help you find the critical, to help you find what's wrong. But please remember, as God's children, as believers in Jesus Christ, this is temporary. And Jesus even encourages us to start finding the paradise here. And imagine just how much sweeter it is when we get to eternity, especially if we were already on the lookout for the good stuff. And one of those good stuff is prayer. I say there's two different types and parts to prayer. And we even put it in our bulletin. We converse with God. Conversation, communication. And in any relationship, that's important in the discussions. To have the conversation and to have the communication. A reminder as camp days, these five Sundays, we are reviewing what we call the promises when we join the membership of the United Methodist Church. And we are connecting them to the five love languages of Dr. Gary Chapman. As a reminder, when you make those commitments to the church, these are five ways to say, I love you, God. And that any healthy relationship should have all five parts. But there's maybe one or two that really are more special to you. So last week was presence. We make a promise as the United Methodist Church member that your presence, you will share it. Being around you is important. It will bless someone's life. Even when you think you are having a horrible, awful day, seeing you matters. Being around you, being in life with you is important. And so last week we celebrated presence or quality time, as Chapman refers to it, with a slideshow. Memories of Emmanuel. The ones that made you laugh, the ones that made you cry, the ones of ordinary time and extraordinary time. The opportunity to be together. It's pretty hard for a relationship to flourish if you never spend time together. Today, we are talking about the prayer promise we make as United Methodist Church, and Gary Chapman refers to them as words of affirmation. You have to say nice things to each other for a relationship to grow. And when I say nice things, those are those little compliments, those little bit, oh, I noticed when you did this. I know many of us are so humble and that we say, oh, I don't need a thank you. It is just my pleasure to serve. I believe that. I know service is a gift. But it's also nice to be recognized for something that you are doing. Our Sunday school teachers, it's not just the hour they spend with the kids here. There takes planning and prayer and shopping and scheduling, maybe that they'll need a helper or that they'll need extra supplies. That takes effort and work. Please don't let this be the only time they get a thank you all year long. And if I noticed correctly, Kathy didn't even get a gift bag. So maybe a nice little note to her would be extra special. People are serving, and you appreciate it. And I'm talking a very sincere thank you to people. Maybe you had an awesome server. Take the time to go find their manager and say, this person is amazing. And my rule of thumb is if you would make a point to go tell the manager if they were awful to that level, then you better be going to tell them how great they are. Because people have bad days. And having someone recognize they did something extra can just lift your heart. I was totally shocked when I saw Emmanuel had posted our birthdays. What a nice little surprise. Just another thank you. just to feel recognized and celebrated. Those little things matter. God appreciates the little things too. When you notice that beautiful sunrise, God does them every day. Did you know that? God does a sunrise every day. Even if you don't see it, God let that sunrise. Sometimes the clouds hide it. And if you're grumbling Gus and negative Nelly, you probably point that out. But those ones that you notice, sometimes I'm like, oh, God, I think you painted that just for me. I mean, that just touched my heart today. That beach springs, God, thank you for having that little extra light for me. And some of you, as we are talking about prayer, well, I just don't have time. Girlfriend and boyfriend, oh goodness. You have time to pray. I promise you, you have time to pray. Yeah. It doesn't have to be 10 hours long. It doesn't even have to be 10 seconds. Calling out God's name just to invite God into your day, that's a prayer. Just breathing is a prayer. And if you can't find any word on your own, open this Bible. God will take any one of those scriptures. I would specifically say the Psalms are a great place because there will be prayers of lamentation, there will be prayers of anger, there will be prayers of love and praise and thanksgiving. If you can't find words, let Psalms speak to God for you. And you can pray in your car. And I'm gonna let you all in on a pet peeve of mine. Nothing drives me crazier than when somebody says, the schools have taken away prayer. No, they have not. They might not pray in class. And I'm kind of okay with that. And the reason I say that is because there's prayers I don't want them saying. So if that's the compromise, I'm okay with that. But you can pray. You can pray in your mind. You can pray in your spirit. You can pray in your breath. And if you've ever seen it on Facebook or social media or in an email, if there are tests in school, someone is praying. I promise you. Whether that is the student about to take the test, the teacher who's giving the test because they want proof, they're listening. Or the parent who has been on the subject for a week and said, I need fractions done. Let them pass this test. Somebody is praying. I have prayed in the grocery store. I have prayed on school campuses. I have prayed in the hallways of the school. I have prayed quietly and out loud, and not once, never ever, have I had someone come up to me and shush me for praying. There is no bounds on your prayers. And even if the world wants to stand up and say, we have shut down prayer, you haven't. You can't. You can always be in conversation with God, whether it's through action, whether it's through silence, whether it's through words. You can be in prayer. Now let's get back to that conversation and communication. We're all really good at the communication part. That's the asking. We're good at that part of prayer, right? And even if it's on the behalf of others who we love, we're really good at the communicating. God, I think this person needs extra prayer. God, this person is struggling. God, heal them. God, they've lost their job. We're good at the communicating. The other part of communication is confession. Why do I put that in the communication part? Because that is what is making your relationship struggle often. When you have sinned, it builds a block up between you and God. If you break a trust in a human relationship, that will put a block in your relationship. That's why James says, go and confess it. Open that up. You can't heal if you're carrying around that burden. It is too heavy for you to carry alone. Anyone who's familiar with the Edgar Allan Poe Telltale Heart, they committed a grievous act and buried a body beneath the boards. And they hear the heart everywhere they go. They feel that guilt. God doesn't want you to carry around guilt. And we then think we're not worthy to talk to God. God, I sinned. But we don't want to say it. Newsflash, God knows. God knows. And God isn't worried about your sin. God's worried about you and your relationship with God. Let's say you shoplifted from a drugstore. God didn't go, "Oh, I saw them put that lipstick in their pocket. Well, our relationship's over now. That's it. That was their one and done." But you are carrying that guilt over it, and you're like, "Oh, I can't talk to God. I can't pray to God. I can't let God know." That's you pulling away from God. That's not God pulling away from you. God's probably still trying to chase you down the street, not to get you, not to capture you, but to say, "I love you. Amen. Come here. Let's talk about it." And that's the same in your human relationships too. If you got angry or you broke a trust or you didn't show up, you start to feel guilty and then don't want to make that phone call. That's going to be uncomfortable. But that person is yearning for you. They are waiting for that apology. They want the relationship usually to continue, but they want to have that talk. That's the communicating. It's important. For instance, Corey and I have to work out the driving schedule to pick up our son, but if I assume he's going to pick up Drew and he assumes I'm going to, and then we get that phone call from the principal like, "Hey, Drew's still here at the school." And then I go, "Oh, okay, miscommunication." Yeah, because there was none. So God absolutely wants you to talk to God. Share your needs. Share your wants. Confess and unburden yourself. But you know what else God wants? That conversation. That's the good stuff, right? If you're in a relationship with someone, a friendship, a romantic relationship, you're not there just to communicate, like, "So on Tuesday I have a doctor's appointment and I'm going to go to the grocery store." I mean, sure, share that with your friends, family. But the good stuff is like, "You know what? I saw your favorite flower today and it made me smile." And you knew it was their favorite flower because you've talked about it. Or that conversation, you know, that song you recommended that you said, "Oh, it just sounded really good. I listened to that today. It was good." That's the conversation. Or, you know, "You showed up, and I appreciate that. God, thank you for helping me get up in the morning. God, thank you for placing these amazing people in my life. God, you're awesome." Ugh. Right? And I hope you've had answered prayers for that faith piece that you know only God could have answered it. It was a check for the perfect amount to cover an unnecessary unknown expense. You had your phone in your hand to make a phone call to a friend and they called you. That God found maybe there was something you were ill with and put you in the right doctor's path. Maybe three appointments got canceled and then you found the one doctor like, "This is my specialty. I know it's really small. Nobody else in the whole world knows about it." That's a God moment. Were you frustrated that you had three other appointments canceled? Absolutely. You're human. You didn't know. But then when you get to that right one, I sure hope you also pointed out, "God, thank you for answering a prayer I didn't even know." Have those conversations. That's where we're praising God and thanking God, when we're listening. If we're going to spend 30 minutes asking, 30 seconds isn't a lot to listen back, at least, to give room for God to respond, to be in conversation. And sometimes, in communication, let us be in prayer. Let us affirm one another. In our prayer, in closing, I'm going to read from Psalm 150, a big praise one for those days you're struggling. But your homework this week is to truly do just a prayer of praise or thanksgiving to God. No requests. And if you find yourself requesting, go, God, we still need to work on this. Let's be more in conversation and not just communication. And or to make a thank you phone call or write a thank you note to someone who has really touched your life. It can be small or big thank you, but something specific like, it really meant a lot when you called last week. I don't know if you picked up in my voice, I was really in a bad mood, but you had me laughing. The more we share gratitude, the more we'll find to be thankful for. But here's the prayer I'd like to share with you from Psalm 150. What I'd like you to notice is it is about, basically, music. From the lute and harp, which are quiet, you can be in quiet praise. Or there's two things about the cymbals, about clanging and clashing, that you can also be just loud and brash with your praise and thanksgiving, that God hears it and appreciates it all. Psalm 150, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty firmament, praise him for his mighty deeds, praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound, praise him with lute and harp, praise him with tambourine and dance, praise him with strings and pipe, praise him with clanging cymbals, praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.